This is Chris with a content warning for this episode. The text I'm discussing today incorporates anti-black racism and violence, specifically slavery. Nothing I discuss on the show is too explicit, but if your tolerance is low right now, I can certainly understand why. This episode was recorded some time ago. I almost pulled it, but on reflection, I thought maybe pulling the episode that is specifically calling out racism would be less of a sensitivity thing and more of a chicken shit ass covering maneuver, which I'm trying to do less of. I thought releasing it is better than not releasing it, which, by the way, is my rationale for continuing Mega Dumbcast despite everything happening in the world. It's like 10 to 15 minutes an episode. I believe people listen to it when they want a break, and there are a lot of people out there who need and deserve a break from time to time right now. There are a lot of you out there fighting important fights, public and personal, and I'm not too proud to be the water boy in those fights. Like, 10 minutes of bullshit, it's something I can do. You are, of course, on the honor system to spend another 10 minutes of your day, at the bare minimum, doing something else to help someone who is carrying something heavy right now, or donating, or whatever. Speaking of which, I donated last month's Patreon income to the North Star Health Collective. It's one of the charities identified by the Minnesota Bail Fund folks after they filled up on donations. If patrons want to check on that, I'll put my receipts up on Patreon. Probably more giving to come with Patreon funds as I'm able to afford it. Thanks to all of you who made that possible. That's it. Enjoy the episode. And if you can't or don't want to, return tomorrow when we will not be speaking again of what's about to transpire. Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 206 of Beyond the Supernatural. We're in the Skill Descriptions section. We've just left the Paranormal category, and we're moving on to the Physical Skills category. Now, Palladium loves physical skills. It continuously reprints physical skills. There are a couple here that we haven't talked about before. Aerobic Athletics, Hand-to-Hand Colon Commando. But over half of this page is material that we've talked about before, and you know what that means. It's time, once again, to open the Z-Files. That archive of hideous monsters, insidious threats, and cesspools of evil pulled from the pages of Palladium's Villains Unlimited, a supplement for its Heroes Unlimited role-playing game. Today, we turn our attention to case number 92, The Dread Micro-Wizards of Chaos. Now, you may be overwhelmed by that name, The Dread Micro-Wizards of Chaos. What does it all mean? How do the pieces fit together? Let's take some excerpts from the very long profile of this group and slowly unpick all of those varied elements that make the Dread Micro-Wizards of Chaos such a multifaceted and, frankly, super fucking weird threat. Quote, "The Dread Micro-Wizards of Chaos is a small organization of vile supernatural beings whose only purpose in life is to reign terror on Earth for their own enjoyment. They will perform any act of evil for the proper payment. In some instances, payment can be the sheer enjoyment of a truly diabolical act." But before you get out your wish list of diabolical acts you would like to see done, be warned. Quote, "The micro-wizards are, however, talented negotiators and typically expect a payment above and beyond their personal enjoyment. They enjoy seeing their clients squirm over the, quote, price of their service, which, in addition to a large cash payment, all too often requires some act of evil on the part of their employer, like information that can be used to hurt or blackmail somebody, secret data, access codes, or theft and murder." So this perhaps lends some insight to both the Dread and the of Chaos aspects of the Dread Micro-Wizards of Chaos. They are talented negotiators who love to do evil and will often do evil in exchange for evil in return. For example, okay, we'll kill a guy, but in exchange, you have to kill an unrelated guy. Or, we demand that you give us the access codes, which it will become increasingly apparent the Dread Micro-Wizards of Chaos do not need. I guess this form of payment is less for the information than it is for just making you experience the uncomfortable feeling of saying a number out loud that you're not supposed to say out loud. Like when someone goes to pick up your food from the taco truck with your debit card and they ask you what your PIN is, and what you want to say is, "Sorry, I forgot. I distrust you more than I want to eat burritos. Never mind." But that would be too awkward, so you give them your PIN, and it fills you with anxiety. Truly, Dread and of Chaos, the tactics of these tiny wizards. Speaking of, let's talk about their true nature and their favored guys. Quote, "The dread micro-wizards of chaos appear as small children, ranging in age from 5 to 10 years old. They are all highly charismatic and possess angelic faces and heartwarming smiles. In fact, they can change the appearance of their faces at will, but it will always remain lovely and pleasing. On the surface, they speak and behave like any normal child, and are so convincing that even their human playmates can seldom tell the difference." The text goes on to describe at length the core tactic, the main interest of the dread micro-wizards of chaos, which is that people expect children to behave oddly, and occasionally with cruelty, so these truly nefarious, demonic creatures can hide their magic and their evil in plain sight by pretending to be human children. While children can get away with being weird and cruel, they are not typically allowed to, for example, drive or get an apartment together. And so, the dread micro-wizards of chaos create a whole world around themselves. They use monstrous servants to pose as their caretakers or parents. Quote, "The little wizards are known to summon supernatural monsters, with the Dybbuk, Succubus, Gargoyle, Gremlin, and Hellhound among their favorites. This may lead to a kind of Orient Express situation in a paranormal investigation, where the investigators go to find out what's strange about little Mikey, visit his home, and pet his dog, and look around the premises, trying to figure out where the supernatural influence is, only to find out, ultimately, not only is little Mikey a dread micro-wizard of chaos, but all his siblings are too, and his dog is a hellhound, and his oddly diminutive grandfather is a gremlin, and his mom is a succubus, and his next-door neighbors, watching from their roof, are gargoyles. It's not just Mikey, everyone is dread and of chaos. It is an unusual and undeniably intriguing tactic for an insidious paranormal threat to use. But what of their personal power? Quote, "Their power is magic." This is the wizard part. Sorry for interjecting. Quote, "Each possesses some measure of mystic ability, whether it be spellcasting, illusions, or circle magic. Some of the magical circles can be drawn with any instrument, like crayons, chalk, and dirt, which is perfect because nobody is suspicious of a child playing with finger paints, or playing in a sandbox, or drawing pictures in the dirt." I don't know what to think about this passage. My instinct is to say that a child drawing detailed magical circles with finger paint or with chalk would in fact attract attention and concern. On the other hand, I definitely remember doing that as a child. On the other hand, it may be because I read this book. I am not objective in this matter. I recuse myself. So, they are dread, they are wizards, they are of chaos. They are micro in the sense that they are children, but also in the sense that they are able to magically shrink to a size of only 6 inches tall. Also relevant to their weird long name is that they are of chaos in the sense that they have the innate ability to animate and control inanimate objects. Inanimate objects like, quote, "toys, dolls, model airplanes, remote control cars, pogo sticks, bicycles, broomsticks, saucers and plates, and small household appliances." Paranormal investigators familiar with the Gremlins, or Trumpy, will understand the general vibe of the dread micro-wizards of chaos. It's whimsical, and yet somebody might get blended up in a blender. Things are going to be flying across the room. You may stumble on marbles or roller skates in the course of your paranormal investigation. Contributing to this aura of horror slash whimsy is the fact that the micro-wizards have a secret playhouse. Quote, "The micro-wizards and their, quote, parents live in an ordinary two-story colonial-style house. The house and all its furnishings are perfectly normal, with one exception, a locked door in the basement. This door leads not to a closet, but to another dimension. It is in this other world that one finds the micro-wizard's true playhouse. Uttering the secret word, playhouse, activates the dimensional portal." And what lies on the other side of the playhouse door? Could it be perhaps a gigantic, whimsical, primary-colored hall of horrors, with childish toys turned into devilish traps? Could it be perhaps a shrunken dollhouse that paranormal investigators run about in, the size of mere mice, as the looming children look through the windows at them, setting faceless dolls upon them, and occasionally reaching through a window with a giant pudgy hand in an attempt to snap off the character's limbs? No, it is none of those things. Very sadly, quote, "The other dimensional playhouse looks like an old plantation mansion from down south, and the surrounding plantation grounds also look completely earth-like, complete with weeping willow trees, tall grass, cotton plants, and wild flowers." The text goes on to describe that this is where the dread micro-wizards of chaos keep their slaves. Let's go ahead and drop out of the format right now with a big collective yikes. This is a totally unnecessary aspect of the dread micro-wizards of chaos that I did not remember when I put them on this list. I thought about just dropping them, but I felt like I wanted to give you the experience that I had reading through this write-up. We're going to do the Dread Micro Wizards again tomorrow. And we're going to talk about the whole back half of this entry, which is, like, hilarious and weird and perfectly usable for Beyond the Supernatural, and has nothing to do with this. I don't know how, I don't know why, but dropped right into the middle of this otherwise perfectly fun and interesting entry is this bullshit where you're going to take player characters forcibly through a dimensional portal to a plantation dimension to be enslaved. Fuck that. There is no excuse for thinking that this is a good idea, and it serves no purpose. It has nothing to do with demon wizards who pretend to be little kids. It's totally off the toy theme, quote-unquote playhouse. What a tenuous link. And the thing is, there's a whole bit here about how, like, oh, this can be the hub for your campaign because it's got all these doors in the plantation house that lead to these other places. So if you want to take your characters from the world of Heroes Unlimited to the world of Beyond the Supernatural or Rifts, then you can take them through the plantation house. What a terrible idea with, again, no connection to what we're trying to do with either these characters or, like, the campaign. This is an inexplicable and inexcusable idea. And it's not, like, integrated in to these characters. I mean, we're going to talk about the specific micro-wizards tomorrow. It doesn't have anything to do with them individually. It doesn't work for their gimmick, because the whole point of them is they pretend to be human children. This entry is by Steve Shearing, which is not a name that I've seen come up too much in the material that we've read. I wouldn't want to speculate about who came up with this material or kind of how it came together, but certainly this is so out of place that I sort of feel, regardless of whether it was just Steve or there was another author involved at some point, definitely the micro wizards were one idea, and this plantation house was another idea, and somewhere along the line they got jammed together. And it is greatly to the detriment of the Dread Micro Wizards of Chaos, because it is an otherwise good and fun and light idea, very much like a comedy horror vibe that is very appropriate to Beyond the Supernatural. And they were given enough page count in Villains Unlimited to flesh them out into a whole thing. Like, they're not just seven little wizards who look like kids. They get to have, like, a background, story hooks, a setting of their own to have the adventure in. And that chunk is unusable. Needlessly, if it were, like, just a dollhouse, just as simple as that, or, like, a toy chest, or, like, some kind of fantasy land, like I'm thinking of Castle of Illusion, that Sega Genesis game with Mickey Mouse, you know? Where it's like, oh no, I'm trapped in the Jell-O pit. A Jell-O pit is fucking horrifying, but it's the good kind of horrifying, not this kind of horrifying. If you had done that, just as simple as that, just Jell-O pits, toy soldiers, easy. Then you could have, like, oh, there's all these doors and they go to all these different dimensions. You can play all the different games in the Palladium Megaverse after you reclaim this, like, dimensional dollhouse from the Dread Micro Wizards of Chaos. You can have endless adventures with this as your sort of, like, overarching dungeon. Then that structural aspect works great. But this plantation thing is, like, so toxic, I wouldn't even touch this first part. And honestly, you're not missing much, because the bare bones, like, structural element is easy enough to implement by yourself. You know, it's not like it's hard to get player characters to Rifts. It's called Rifts. And the rest of this first section is all about, like, how the Micro Wizards operate as a criminal organization and how you can set up a meeting with them. I didn't even go into it because it's really boring. It's about, like, how you got to place an ad in a certain kind of publication, and then when they meet you, they don't want to meet face to face, and then if they get spooked, then they won't contact you. And it's like, it has nothing to do with their gimmick. I can't see it being any use unless you were going to, like, set up a sting for the Dread Micro Wizards of Chaos, which, fine, seems like a waste of perfectly good weirdo wizard kids to do, like, essentially a drug sting on them, but whatever. Anyway, I suggest/demand that you not use any of this material. Just stick with the premise. They're Dread, they're Micro Wizards, they're of Chaos. That's the takeaway from these first couple of pages, and we'll forget the rest of it ever happened. Whatever author, for whatever reason, put this in the book, fuck them, they should have known better. But I'll tell you one thing, they're not going to ruin these Micro Wizards for me. Join me tomorrow as we ignore these couple of pages and talk about some silly wizards with silly names on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top secret Patreon-only RSS feed. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. The theme for the Z-Files is Lightless Dawn by Kevin MacLeod. Kevin MacLeod's music, used under a Creative Commons license, can be found at incompetech.filmmusic.io. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.